Let's pray one more time. Jesus, thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, that just like in the book of John, that says at the end, there's just a limitless amount of things we could talk about your goodness and your wonder and your glory, Lord. And we just thank you for that, Lord. Would you help me speak and help us hear what you have to say today? In Jesus' name, amen and amen. My shoe's untied. Hang on. All right, there we go. Well, today, I know I'm the worship guy, and I know that, you know, what I'm going to talk about today might just sound like a worshipful thing, but this is something for everybody. This isn't about music today. This is about our lifestyles, and today I want to ask you a question. Go ahead with that first slide. Is your life filled with an awareness of the goodness of God? Is your life filled? Is there, not that we're living on cloud nine with emotions, but is your life, if somebody characterized your life, would they characterize it by a life of good, where you've recognized God's goodness in your life and that he's been abundantly overflowing of generosity towards you? If you don't know, maybe you're like, oh, kinda. Well, let's just see. What does it look like? Next slide there. If somebody is aware of their God's goodness, their life is full of rest. I don't mean not working a job, but their heart is at rest. They've got a joy, an inward joy in them, right? They've got thankfulness. They're other-centered. In other words, they know goodness of God for them. They know that God is good to them, so now they can focus on other people, right? Go to the next slide there. Here's some obvious things that we know about if you're not aware of God's goodness. Our lives can be filled with anxiety, negativity, complaining. I've never complained before. That's for you all. So, boy, my wife knows that that's not true. And unthankfulness. And so those are things, and we all know those kinds of things, but let's dig a little deeper because, we're believers. We're full of God's goodness and everything. Well, here's some more descriptions of somebody who is not aware of God's goodness. If your Christianity is mostly a grind, chances are you don't know God's goodness to a very full amount. Maybe you just focus on our own accomplishments mostly, but when we're in conversation about our walk with God, it's mostly about what we do rather than what he has done for us, right? This is convicting for me too, just so you know. Number three, our prayer life is more kind of like a vending machine. It's more like, I've got a need. And so then, and I've done this 1,000 times, I've got a need and I'm like, Jesus, help with that need. In Jesus' name, amen. Push the button. Hopefully the can of generosity and goodness comes out. You drink it. And then, thanks, Lord. And that's it. Number four, we view the Bible as merely as like an instruction manual. It's just like a to-do list, just a roadmap. I'm not saying it's not those things, but we kind of see it just as that, right? Next slide there. So somebody who is actually aware of God's goodness, their life is actually full of faith and hope. And when you ask them questions about their life, it kind of oozes with God's goodness, or they begin to talk about God's nature, or this is who God has been for me. Number three, it's more that the prayer life is more like in a relationship with God, where they actually truly begin to know God in talking with him. It's like a friendship or a father-son or father-daughter relationship. And number four, the Bible becomes more like a letter from a loving father rather than just an instruction manual. So you might be going through this going, well, I don't know where I'm at on all this. I'll tell you what, I'm both of those. Any given day, I'm probably both of those. Some days where I find rest and joy and thanksgiving, and then there's other days where, boy, I'm struggling not to complain. But next slide there, how do we become people that are absolutely aware of his goodness? Like, how do we do that? Like, we've been told that that's a really good thing. Next slide. We have to know, number one, that there's more to God's goodness than we know right now. A lot of us have heard that God is good since we were three in church. God is good, God is good. And so we get this, like, superficial understanding of his goodness, and it's easy to talk about, it's easy to high-five each other about, and we can kind of literally stay in that place, and maybe we've seen him do some good things in our life, but it never, like, got immersed. We never got immersed in his goodness. And if you never knew that God's goodness was better than what you have, then maybe you're just like, okay, this is Christianity. He's good. He does a few good things. But you never knew that his goodness is infinite. Everybody say the word infinite. There's a guy named Sam Storms. I've heard him speak 20 years ago at a conference, and he proposed the thought that in heaven, we're going to be continually learning because God's love and his grace and his goodness are infinite. I used to think that when I died, I'd be like, well, I know everything, and it's going to be bliss, and it's going to be, well, it is going to be bliss. But now that I realize, wait a second, the four living creatures that surround God's throne right now, it's a crazy scripture, and it's in Revelation chapter 4. They've got wings, they got eyes everywhere, which you could just go into that for like weeks and study that. That's pretty amazing. And they are surrounding the throne, and they're singing, and they're saying, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. And they're saying, and they say that day and night, and they never stop. And I always wondered, well, that would get boring if they have already mined the depths of God and it just like they kind of found the end of him. But they never find the end of him because his goodness is infinite. They go, oh, you're good. Look what you're doing on earth. Look what you're doing. I see more of you. And then the next day, if there's time, I don't know if there's time. Oh, and I see more of you. And then I see more of you. You're that good? Oh, and you're that good? And it never gets boring. If that doesn't entice you, I don't know what will, but that is, there is more. You have to realize that when the gospel, does anybody know what the word gospel means? Raise your hand. What does it mean? Good news. It's good news, right? The gospel means good news. And if you've ever had a moment with Jesus, I know Mike has, if you ever had a moment with Jesus where you're like, this almost seems too good to be true, you are not far from the kingdom of God in that moment. Because you're beginning to realize that the goodness of God is better than you've ever realized before in your whole life. Amazing stuff, huh? So you gotta know that there's more. However, we've got a problem in life, especially as a Christian. Next screen, sorry. This is a kooky picture, but picture ourselves as Christians. We've been blessed, right? We're like in the center of God's love, right? He has blessed us with every spiritual blessing. His love is towards us. His resurrection power is towards us. We've got favor towards us. We are the king's kids. Literally, we're the king's kids. But we got blinders on half the time. It's like we're smack dab in the center of worlds of fun, and we got a blindfold on. Maybe we can hear the rides. Maybe we can smell the cotton candy. Some of you have heard me say this before. But we've got a blinder on, and we're not able to partake in that because our eyes have not been opened, right? It's happened to a lot of us. So what do we do about that? Well, Scripture's got a wonderful remedy, and I'm going to go to the next slide here. This is Paul writing to the church in Philippi, and he says this in chapter 4. You guys have heard this before, probably. Maybe not. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, next one, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about these things. The next scripture is Colossians chapter 3. This is one of my favorites, okay? Just sharing you one of my little juicy morsels from my own quiet times. Since then, you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above. Then he says it again. Is that the right one? And then he says, set your mind on things above where Christ is seated at the right hands of God. The next scripture after that, which I don't have there, it says, because you died and your life is hidden with Christ. You're with Jesus up here some strange, mysterious way. And he says, set your mind on it. Set your heart on it because that's where you're at right now. Isn't that crazy? Some of you didn't know that. You're like, whoa, wait a second. I'm here, but I'm there. Yeah, it's a mystery. I don't get it, but it's true. But these are commandments, guys. And the reason why he commands these things is not because God's looking for praise because he feels insecure about himself. Like, you know, count your blessings because I want you to know all the good things I've done for you, or else I'm going to feel insecure about myself. No, God's not like that at all. He's like, it is for your good. It is for your heart to focus on these things. And if you're anything, if you're like me, you realize that social media, the algorithms that are set up on social media are bent towards negativity, right? Today, there's more than ever possibilities for you to sink down into a place of depression and loneliness online than ever before. I'm not knocking Facebook. I'm on Facebook. I'm on all those things. But I've realized that if you click on like something tragic that happened in life, the algorithm goes, oh, you like that stuff, do you? The next thing and the next thing and the next thing. A hurricane hit here and this epidemic and this epidemic. I mean, it's just crazy what it will take you down because I'm not saying that the devil's in all that, but I do know that the devil wants us to focus on negativity and he wants to and people know that they can make money off of our focus. And so if our focus is on those things, it's gonna rob us. It's gonna rob us of the joy of God that God wants to give us. And if we don't have joy in our heart, we can't give it away. And then Christianity just becomes a grind. So how do we focus on these things? Well, obviously we can just, guys, there's 1,000 ways to focus on whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely. I'm not gonna give you the four-step plan that is the only plan for everybody, but I am gonna give you this one thing, and this is what we're gonna focus on for the remainder of the time. It's the next slide here. And this is it for today. Gratitude is the on-ramp. Everybody say on-ramp. In God's goodness. I should have said gratitude is the on-ramp to God's goodness. That's what I meant to say. When we are grateful, when we practice literal, intimate thanksgiving with God, it is an on-ramp or an escort into the goodness of God, okay? When I grew up, I thought, you know, when I go to church, I thought that Thanksgiving was, well, once a year, number one. I also thought that Thanksgiving was just more counting your blessings. Like, in other words, like, okay, what's good about my life today? Well, the car ran, the grass was green, and we got lights on and we got air conditioned. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. And that'd be it. And that wasn't bad. That was beautiful, honestly. But what I want to talk about today is how do we get gratitude into our hearts in a very personal way where we begin to set up memorials within our own hearts to God, where we have a place of remembrance where God has been good. Next slide here. Here's some of the benefits of just good old-fashioned gratitude, guys. Number one, this is what I just said. It stamps his goodness onto our memory. If we have an amazing time with the Lord, or let's say he blesses us with a Brian's moment. When Brian was at the Royals game, and he had a wonderful moment, and then after that, he doesn't thank God for it or anything like that. It's still going to be there, but he's going to forget about it, right? At some point, it's not going to be as a big of a memory. But if he goes to the Lord, which I know he already has, and he thanks him for it, he begins to imagine what happened. He actually has video of it, so that's even easier now. He imagines what happened. He talks to God about it. And all of a sudden, it begins to become stamped on his memory in a different way. Does that make sense? And number two, it allows us to see more. Because you might think that, oh yeah, God blessed me with watching a guy catch a foul ball, but as Brian explained, there was 1,000 other things going on in that Royals game that he began to notice. And then when we thank him, we begin to see more of his blessings, more of his greatness, more of his beauty. And number three, gratitude helps you like hold your life really loosely, hold things loosely and be at rest. What I mean by that is that God is our Father, right? He takes care of us. And sometimes our willpower like takes over and we think we just have to grind our life and we kind of forget that he's in control. So we're just kind of acting like this, hunched over, and we're not holding things loosely. And so when you thank God, it's really hard to truly thank God holding tight to your life, because you realize that everything's a gift. When you begin to thank him, you're like, oh yeah, today is a gift, yesterday was a gift, and tomorrow is gonna be another gift. And the things that, oh, the food that I'm eating, it's a gift. One of my friends from the Middle East, he said, God's food is God's love made edible. I'm like, oh. When I heard that the first time, I'm like, yeah, Jesus. Truly being thankful is a good thing, right? So today, this is what I want to leave you with. I want to give you a special way to do gratitude and to help you kind of move into a whole nother realm of gratitude. Rather than just listing off 10 things to be thankful for, I want to introduce you to something called interactive gratitude. Everybody say interactive gratitude. One more there. I actually got it from this guy here, Dr. James Wilder, Jim Wilder. Heard him speak 10 years ago. No, it's probably been more than that. Leslie, I don't know, 15. I don't know how long I'm old. But he spoke, and it's stuck with me this whole time. I'm continually reminded about this. The times in my life where I don't do this, it robs me of joy. And when I do this, I remember his goodness. Interactive gratitude. You can just go to the next slide. If it's a blank slide, that's fine. Doesn't matter. Go to the interactive. Yeah, there we go. Interactive gratitude. This is what it is, guys. It's highlighting something good that's happened in your life and then talking to God about it. And like literally sharing like a little boy or a little girl would share with his mom or dad, okay? So the first thing you would do with interactive gratitude is you would ask God, say, God, reveal a way that you have been good to me, okay? This is something you can do today, this afternoon, tonight. You'll get addicted to this too. You just sit there and you go, Jesus, remind me of something that, how have you been good to me today? And you don't have to feel it. And it doesn't have to be this, like, you know, audible voice from the Lord, Daniel, this is the way I've been good to you. Never happened to me, by the way. But it might just be a little thought. And it might just be a steak you ate. It might be a video game that you played. It might be a hug that you received. It might have been a song that you heard. It could be a really big spiritual moment. Maybe you just had a real big encounter with God. Maybe it's a fish that you caught. It could be the Royals game you went to. It could be all sorts of things. And so that's the first thing that you do. So now you've got that thing, whatever that thing is, okay? And so then what you do is you tell him all about it and go back with your imagination and think about that thing, okay? Well, you need to take our imaginations back, amen? Like the devil has used our imagination for bad things, but Jesus is like, I gave you an imagination to do stuff like this, to go back and to think about the amazing things that I've done. And so you go back into those moments. And actually, I'm gonna, can you go to Grace's soccer thing for a second? I wanna share one beautiful moment that I had that was actually just literally yesterday. This is my daughter scoring a goal. Thank you. You can shut that off now. Dude, she rocked it. She scored 2 goals. I'm a proud dad. But that happened yesterday, and it was amazing. It was one of those moments, right? It was one of those moments for me. And so what do? I look at God, and I say, Jesus. And I start telling him all about it. I don't just go, thank you, God, for the goal. Amen. No. I go, thank you, Jesus, just like a little boy. Thank you, Jesus, for what you did in that moment that Grace got to score a goal. It gave her confidence. It gave her teammates confidence. I remember that my boy was close by and my wife was coaching the team. And I'm like, Lord, I just realized that was a family moment. And I began to, my eyes like, oh my gosh. And I remember some of my friends like saying, whose daughter is that? And they were just, you know, having fun with me and everything. And And it wasn't that I felt like weirdly proud, but I felt like, oh man, these people love me and they love our family and they've been rooting for Grace for a long time. And I'm like, oh Jesus, we got friends that really are just, you know, rooting for our family. I wouldn't have gotten all of that if I wouldn't have stopped and thanked God for that. Does that make sense? It opened up that memory more so that now when I go back to that memory is actually richer than it might have was in the moment. I'm going to say that again. You'll have memories of good things that happened like 10 years ago. I challenge you, if you stop and you thank God for that good thing, he may just reveal some other amazing things that happened in that moment that you had no idea, and now it will literally change your memory of that thing. It will change your history. Does that make sense? Oh, this is crazy. That's how God works, though. You'll notice in the Old Testament that they set up remembrance stones and memorials to God wherever he did things because they knew that we tend to forget the good things that God does. And so the Israelites were even commanded times, set up a stone of remembrance or set up a memorial to God. It was because they needed to remember his goodness. And so then in my moment with Grace scoring that goal, now I've shared like a little kid to my daddy. I've told him all about it. Now here's the next one, and this is the kicker for me. It changes the game more than anything, honestly, for me. And at times it makes me want to weep because of God's goodness. I challenge you in that moment to listen to God's response to what he gave you. In other words, I say something like this: God, you allowed me to be in that moment with Grace. I thank you for that. What did you think about that moment? What do you think? What was on your mind? What was on your heart? And listen, and listen, and listen. And even if you don't hear an audible voice or whatever, what do you think he'd say? And let your imagination serve. What would a good father think about that moment? And you might hear, I love to make family moments happen for your life. I know that your daughter's not going to score every single game, but I love to highlight the moments when something glorious happens like that. I love your family. I love your son. I love your wife. I love what she's doing with the, you know, and then he begins to speak about other aspects of that moment. I love that your wife is pouring into these kids and studying books on how to coach soccer, and she's, you know, turning the she's taking it to a whole nother level. And I'm like, oh, you care for my family that way? And all of a sudden, I'm getting something from Jesus that I never thought I'd get in this moment. And then I share back with him, for I respond to him. And I just say, this is incredible. You seriously like us like that? What? Wow. Wow, I guess we are your kids. This is amazing. Thank you. And they can go on and on. And that's what interactive gratitude is. And then you get to share it like Brian did. And I looked at all your faces and I saw these smiles. It lit up the family here just because he shared something good that happened. And so this is where it can become contagious. And it can literally, this is what Jim Wilder gets into, that book. If you want the book, let me know. I can show you where to get it. I think it's cheap. It can literally change your synapses in your brain. It can literally rewire your brain. A lot of our brains are wired towards negativity, right? Like it's easy just to think about the negative stuff. We've thought about it for all of our lives. When I'm in an uncomfortable situation at work, it would just be easier to complain about something than to say something good. And just because it's come natural, our brains have been wired there. This is a way that we can rewire our brains. Jesus will do that for us as we do this. But that's what we can do. We got 5 minutes. We're going to just do this for a moment, okay? And this is not going to be, God can do what he wants. But let's just, if you're okay with this, let's just close our eyes for a moment and let's just do some interactive gratitude. It's more important that we just carry this out, you know, the rest of our life in some way, shape, or form, thankfulness. But I want you to ask God right now, if you're okay with this, ask God, to take you back to some moment in time where he has been very, very good to you. We're just going to take about 45 seconds. Say, Jesus, how have you been good to me? How have you been good? Okay, now tell them all about it. You don't have to have an emotion about it. Just rev the engine. Just say, oh, Lord, this happened. This happened. Thank you. This happened too. Let your imagination work again. And I know I'm not giving a lot of time to this, but I just wanted to give an example. Now let's just go before God and ask him that big money question. Jesus, what do you think about what you gave me? What was on your heart when you did that for me? I'm going to challenge you just to share, if you're okay with that, sometime today, share your moment with a friend. Sometimes it's not the time to share with somebody. Sometimes it's something so dear and vulnerable to your heart. Maybe you just need to treasure that with Jesus. But other times it's great to share it because it like bubbles up and you get to be encouraged even more through another friend. So I just challenge you guys to do this in your life. That, like I said, this is just one way that you can be grateful. It's not the answer, but it is another way to have gratitude, interactive gratitude. So let me pray for us and we'll be done here. God, thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you for commanding us to dwell on good things, to dwell on you, the most generous Father that we've ever had. Thank you. You literally command us to receive from you, to be at rest with you, Jesus, to trust you in your goodness. God, would you help us become people who are incredibly addicted to gratefulness, where we begin to see your goodness in everything that we do in life, Lord. So we ask for that to happen. Thank you for this morning, Lord. Amen and amen. In Jesus' name.